Who is that mystery guest? Why, it's Jim Colony of the Fan Morning Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Chris. You know, I was in the car. I'm actually getting in, since I'm not really going to be able to play tomorrow myself, I'm meeting my friend Dave Michaels. He pretty much runs Dick's Sporting Goods, and he has a group that plays on Friday. So I'm over here getting a little early Moon Golf Club action in today. And I heard on the way over, I said, hey, I'm listening to you and stuff, and very enjoyable. And I hear, oh, we got a mystery guest coming up. And I said, oh, that sounds interesting. And then I realized it was me. So my interest kind of waned a little bit. Pretty big build up for a letdown, I'd say.
Well, why do you think I used mystery guest instead of Jim Colony? You got to keep your audience riveted, Jim.
Yeah, I know.
Now, don't be so modest. I mean, I have you on, and the first question I would ask you was about golf, because you're not going to be able to play tomorrow because it's your event. You've got to be like the prince about town here a little bit.
Yeah, I do have to be a sophisticated man about town.
Yes.
So it's really a lot of fun. In fact, the spaces were in such demand that even you yourself bought a spot in this thing. And
oh, yeah.
So that entitles you to two Jimbo balls. I think you're very happy about that. Everybody gets a couple of those. We got some other prizes as well. Some premium beers. Wink, wink. Nothing better than beers on the golf course at 8:30 in the morning. Hopefully the weather will be okay, but it's a really good event. And we're going to raise some money for Greater Pittsburgh Food Bank as well, because Josh Danino, the capable GM here, you're familiar with Josh.
They're going
to donate 10% of all proceeds in the golf shop tomorrow during the event, and maybe even after, are going to be donated to Greater Pittsburgh Food Bank. So come on in, buy a shirt, buy some balls, some tees, funny looking hats. You can buy all the whole schmear.
I don't know if free bowls of soup are included with hats, though, in this particular case.
Actually, well, free food is, right? I mean, you get dogs at the turn, beer and soft drinks on the course, and then afterwards, all within the Allegheny County guidelines and socially distanced and everything else of food to go. Prepackaged for you, so you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And everything's good. The one thing they are doing, just to kind of alert people, and maybe you got an email on this already, is that I know they are staggering the start times to try to split it up a little bit so that we were able to maintain the 50 and under gathering guidelines, per the county.
That would be the Find Jim Colony's Lost Golf Balls event that I'm playing in and trying to win tomorrow with my buddy, when I reference my buddy on the air that I'm playing with, I call him Slappo. So anytime you've got a Slappo that you're trying to play golf with, it's going to be an interesting afternoon.
I'm familiar with some of your golf friends, and that they may or may not be professionals or pretty damn close to it or ex-professionals. So
would you like me to tell you this? All right, here. I'll give you an honest accounting of this. My father-in-law is actually playing in this event as well with his son, so it would be my brother-in-law. And they're both pretty good. They absolutely are good enough to win this thing because my father-in-law can really, really putt the ball, and my brother-in-law can absolutely knock the snot out of it because he's 19, and so he's, invincible. The guy in my group, Jim, I will tell you this. He used to be a golf pro, actually, years and years
ago. Do I know him?
You might have met him. I think you might have met him once or twice. I think you did.
Okay.
I think.
Did you play?
You didn't play in my event last year, did you?
I did.
Were you? You weren't in my group, were you?
No.
Okay. If you were in my group, you would have been playing with him. But that's what I thought. Okay. Long story short. I've seen this man make a hole-in-one in my presence. He almost aced a par 4 the last time we played, but that very same round, I actually beat him 84-85. So we have to play really well to have a chance. So I'm not bringing just a total ringer. I'm bringing a good golfer, at times a very good golfer, but I'm not bringing somebody that's going to shoot 62. Anyway, I did want to ask you about actual sports.
Okay. Yeah, go for it. 9 under, by the way, was the score that won last year, a two-man scramble. which actually is a two-man scramble. That 9-under is a really good score for two guys.
I think that's
here.
The fairest test. I think a two-man scramble is the truest test. I love it because both guys have to be able to play well. That's why I'm excited about it tomorrow, and because it's actually going to be like 70 when we tee off and not like 94 with 100% humidity, apparently.
Well, if it's 100% humidity, it'll be because it's raining, so let's hope that's not happening.
Correct. Jim Colony, our mystery guest here on the PM team. What is your reaction to this Buster Posey story? He's the latest big name to opt out, and I was seeing today, Jim, when I was doing some research for the show, there is no provision in Major League Baseball that prevents veteran players from opting out if, say, I don't know, their team starts off through 25 games 8-17 and has absolutely no shot at making the postseason. Veteran players who have made their money, who don't have to really play you this season, can walk away from it. What does that make you kind of, how does that strike you about the baseball restart plan?
Well, see, to me, that's a completely different situation than what we're talking about here with Buster Posey and potentially others. You outlined the whole, I mean, you're adopting babies that were born prematurely. I mean, come on. If anybody has a problem with that, then they just have problems with life in general. The scenario that you propose, that does create some issues because that would be a situation where teammates could call a guy out for being a quitter. However, and I didn't hear the whole thing, so maybe you did talk about this in the first hour, that let's just say, for example, on the Pirates, let's just say we don't know about it, but a couple of guys tested positive for coronavirus. And maybe that there are guys that share a position, whatever, that have been close to that guy, and they're like, you know what? They said, we got a couple guys that tested positive. I don't want anything to do with it. I would think, however, that if that happened, that would be that's the one scenario that would create an issue where that I think potentially could be divisive. And I hadn't really thought about it. I figured once guys were in, they were in. If they do drop out here within the next week or so, what do we got? 2 weeks. 2 weeks from tonight, right? It's the Pirates' first game.
Right.
Stuff could happen between now and then, and teams have plenty of players, such as they are, on their 60-man squad. So there are plenty of available players. But if there was a small outbreak among teams, then that could cause issues. But I just think you got to go on and you got to try to do something here. You really have to try, and so I hope they keep at it. But any player that, like Trevor Williams, for example, he's got young kids. I know for sure. I know a lot of other players. I mean, they're in the wheelhouse for having young kids, Chris. They're your age, right? And a little bit younger. So I can understand why anybody would be reluctant to play.
Jim Colony of the Fan Morning Show, who's about to get out there and actually play a round of golf where I presume he's keeping his own score because tomorrow he's going to be hitting celebrity tee shots and things like that while drinking his official go-to lagers and brews. Here's another one I had for you, and this is something I haven't yet brought up today, so I'll just put it as an open-ended question to you. Where do you come down if I read you this criticism that I've seen circulating? I think Pro Football Talk had it, that there is a major ethical concern about teams in professional sports. Like the MLS even was getting this done for them, and that's the fifth major sports league in this country, maybe. Fast-tracking tests relative to the general public. Do you think there's a major ethical problem? Does that sit with you as a major problem as these leagues try to get back?
Not necessarily, but since, and although politics and sports are mixing together a lot more than they used to, are they not? With any lack of national direction and sort of in every state, who knows how local it goes, everybody has to be in it for themselves, then I think people have to act accordingly. And I don't know, I mean, our wives are nurses, Chris. And fortunately, Linda's shown no symptoms. I've shown no symptoms other than being stuffed up because of allergies, presumably. So we haven't had the need to be tested. As far as I know, if we needed to be tested, we could be. But I've never looked into it to see how difficult it is. If somebody is hogging all the tests, and goodness knows there's probably somebody someplace that is, then that's going to create issues. But I, on the whole, I think in general, I don't have problems unless we find out that there is a severe shortage of tests and that they're unavailable because of the scenario that you presented.
Do you think we see college football this fall, or do you think that what the Big Ten did yesterday is first domino towards it happening in the spring or possibly not at all?
Man, I think you guys have done this too. I say you know as my next phrase is going to be you don't know, because I don't know is the answer for just about everything these days, because we've never been in this situation, never been presented with it. I do think, like I said earlier, I think at some point, and I think we're there. It's just you've got to try to live life, but you have to do it safely. The college, and I heard Paul Zeiss, I thought, did a pretty good job with this today when talking about it. And, you know, the dilemma that some people are saying that, well, if the campuses are closed, you can't have athletes on campus. When in fact, that actually creates more room to have athletes on campus to keep them apart from one another. But maybe they can't stay apart from one another. It just takes it. The overriding
Jim, isn't the problem with the colleges, if you can't have kids on campus, you can't play, isn't that it completely exposes once and for all for the true farce that it is, that these guys are, the student-athlete thing is absurd? Well, because then you're just bringing back guys because they're the people, in this particular case, who play the major revenue-generating sport. You're bringing them back on campus to make sure that the sport gets played.
Well, if anybody doesn't realize that by now, then they're just, I mean, I can't imagine there's anybody that doesn't think that's the case.
Well,
how can anybody?
Liability. Wouldn't the players be able to say, hey, we're employees, we're not student athletes at this point, we're obviously employees who are taking a risk that's different from every other student athlete?
And then, you know, you come back with the argument that they're getting paid in some instances, like, well, I know. Well, I was going to say the athletes can come back on campus unless you're at Stanford and you play water polo, or whatever the sports were that they cut. Sailing, I think, was one of them. Because then it gets into only certain athletes matter. But an athlete at a place like, I'm going to use Stanford, Cal, places like that, where tuition is. You pay a steep price to get a Stanford education. So what do you make the argument that a scholarship at Stanford is worth $60,000 or whatever it is? And $60,000 is probably more than most people make in a year that do work. You know, that's a kind of a circular argument that, you know, athletes need to be compensated more than they are. At least maybe at some schools, if you sign a $400,000, you know, loan from an agent, that's what it is. I mean, but the other part of it is too, Chris, I mean, you went to Penn State. Okay. So Penn State by canceling three non-conference games, two of them were home games against, what was it, Kent State and San Jose State. So there's one of those weekends where the hotels are full all throughout central Pennsylvania, where you can't get a seat at a table at a restaurant in downtown State College, where the economy for those, what, seven weeks a year that they have home games, sometimes maybe eight, that keeps that whole town afloat. It's like resort towns that have to shut down on the coast right now. This is like the time where they make their money, and so it just disrupts it throws the whole economy into a complete tailspin, and which is why I think we have to do the best. And yet I talk about the economy. Well, if no fans are allowed at games, then how's that going to help the economy in State College if no one's driving up there to stay?
Jim, I have so much more I could ask you. It was a delight talking to you, but I know you've got to go hit some putts and get the get limbered up and loose and ready to go.
Oh, I have to drop off the Jimbo balls. That's my main mission coming here today.
Well, drop them off, and then we'll all find them tomorrow, at least if we got
yes,
on the exclusive play sheet, because that thing filled up in like 2 days. All right, Jim.
It did. Amazing. Bye, Chris.
See ya. Jim Colony right there of the Fan Morning Show. I'll be playing in his event tomorrow.